towards you, the farm?
Yes, towards you.
Okay, that's all now. So this is a little bit more of a little peek into the influence of the Kali Yuga, how it's going to get, looks like it's going to get worse. The proportion is inexplicable. The Diluni energy does a fantastic job, I must say. And she's getting more intense all the time, and she makes us all spellbound. Somehow or other, she can just attract one or all the senses, and she can just illusion you so much so that when you're not looking, she throws a chain around your legs and puts you to work. And while you're working, you're thinking, somehow or other, I'm enjoying this. I'm enjoying this struggle. So it's amazing that it can only intensify more and more. It's obvious that everyone is struggling with these adibodhic, adidaivic, adiatmic miseries. If one doesn't get you, the other one will. So we have to take these predictions with a grain of salt. We have to see that we should take some precautions as a human being, that we should see it as our part to utilize our intelligence and make a solution to this repetition of struggle for existence that we go through all the time. That the materialists, they get plenty of knowledge out there, education about how to do this and how to do that, so that somehow or other they can manipulate the material energy so that they get some relief from the struggle. And but that's not real knowledge. We understand that the real knowledge is given to us by the bona fide spiritual master about who we really are and why we're here and what we should do about the situation. We're not this body. We're part of Krishna, and we don't really belong here. We're meant to enjoy. And somehow or other, we just have to take up seriously the process of devotional service and be appreciative of that privilege of doing that service. So there, many people don't realize the greatness of God and the lowly position that we're in. And they don't even recognize how great the Supreme Lord is. Here it's describing how the energies are so inconceivable. There's a nice billboard somewhere in town, and it has a it's being promoted by the Christians, I believe, and it's saying, how could you have doubts? Why are you doubting it? It shows a beautiful picture of a brand new baby, just like this little baby. So cute. It's really, really cute. And it's a wonderful thing, just see such a beautiful, brand new, perfect little being like this. How could you doubt that such a creation has come from anybody except for a most wonderful person as God? So this should be very obvious, but still people are hear about the greatness of God, but they don't believe it. That doubt of Kali Yuga is there, mesmerizing them. So we need to hear about the opulences of the Lord. Arjuna was supposedly in some kind of a delusion, and so Krishna starts to explain his opulences throughout the whole Bhagavad Gita, many, two chapters, much of it devoted just to explaining his opulences. Look, I'm the greatest of this, and I'm the greatest of that. You think that's great, I'm that thing. But this is just a little spark of my pleasure, of my greatness. So we should be impressed with that. And as Arjuna did, throw down everything, bow down and surrender to the Supreme Lord. And that will definitely make us happy. So if one is impelled to surrender, then somehow or other you find the strength to just not show up for work at Maya's door. You can get the spiritual master, take off your chains and say, so long, I have a new master. And then you can sign up to serve the Lord in his beautiful temples, where the atmosphere is not like the material world. It's very much the spiritual world. And we can begin to develop some affection and love for the Supreme Lord. Every day we're thousands of times, within a few hours in the morning, thousands of repetitions of please, engagement in your loving service. So the Lord hears it. If we do this every day, 16 rounds, I don't know how many Hare Krishnas that is, but it must be a few thousand names of the Lord. Then the Lord is very pleased. He says, for sure, just keep serving me. He gives us some satisfaction, which makes us want to serve more. And with that satisfaction, we can develop a taste for the spiritual life and no longer be attracted to this delusion of Maya. But many are in this dark age and pretty miserable. They claim that they're independent, that I don't need God, that I am the creator of so many wonderful achievements. Just see what I've done. Technology is so advanced. I have so many pleasures and comforts in my life. But that's just setting you up for a big slam. Krishna hears these claims of trying to be the Supreme Lord himself. And so sometimes he will just whisper in the material energy's ear, or into, let's say, Mother Nature's ear, and say, show your stuff. And so Mother Nature can, all she has to do is just like stick her finger in the ground, and out comes what? You've been reading the news about this island where people have million-dollar homes, this La Palmas or something like that. And for weeks now, this lava, it's amazing, it's just like covering the whole island, and all their million-dollar homes are just like melting to nothing. Nothing's left. It's frightening because they can't stop it. Krishna's just showing a little spark of his greatness. And even the materialists, they don't even recognize that this of the super soul. Although everyone hears a little voice inside telling them to do this or that many times, and they all say, no, it's just some instinct. No, I know better. I don't need to listen to it. And then they find themselves unhappy that they didn't listen. So for the doubting soul, there is no happiness. So we have to also realize that even for the devotee, that Maya still is stalking us at times with this doubt. It's described here, this doubtfulness is due to contamination of Kali and the material energy. So it's a double doozer, as they say, that she still is trying to get us back in her service. And I know sometimes you might, I'm sure everyone, I can't believe it, not every devotee has, any devotee has never experienced some doubt within their Krishna consciousness. Even just for a minute, you'll hear something or read something, go, how could that be? It's just like impossible. Or you'll be chanting around, you're thinking, why? I could be doing something else. Why am I doing this? Why am I getting up early? I could have been a great this. I could have been and done this. I could have achieved this. These things float by, and if you entertain them, then it could be disastrous for your spiritual life. But the remedy, of course, is to increase your chanting, get good association of devotees, and then just like pushing a refresh button, you're back on the path of bhakti, and in reaping the results of this greatest thing of serving Krishna. But Maya does attach, so therefore we have to prepare ourselves by being very regular in our service and in our sadhana. Srila Prabhupada was once asked, aren't you surprised about how many devotees leave? And Prabhupada says, I'm actually surprised how many devotees stay, because this material energy is out to get us. And it does get harder and harder, as it describes here. It gets more magnified, the opposing elements. So we are never really exempt from Maya's influence. Even Lord Shiva, the greatest devotee, he thought he really was so advanced that he could handle anything. And so he insisted on seeing Krishna's form of Mohini, and he lost it. But he was happy. when he got chastised, he was saying, yes, see how great my Lord is. He's so much greater than I am. And so that increased his faith. So sometimes Krishna will test us also in the form of some doubts, send some doubts along. But that is just is like a booster shot, just to see how strong we are, so we can become, so we can conquer over these doubts. And of course, Maya sends her little demons sometimes to make us take shelter more, and especially taking shelter of the holy name. Yesterday, the person who was speaking quoted from a song about faith, and I won't read the whole thing because he pretty much covered it yesterday. But I was the title of it. We know it as Nadia Godrumi, but actually the title that Bhaktivinoda Thakur has given the song is "The Lord's Order to Patrol Around Town." So this is an order that people that do have faith in the holy name, which is so important, which we're trying to develop every single day. Those with the faith, they should go and give it to others. It says, "The showing of compassion to other souls by loudly chanting the holy name of Krishna is the essence of all forms of religion." We've even heard that, books are the basis. Preaching is the essence. So once you have that faith, you'll want to give it to spread it to somebody else. And so this is what religion is really all about, is actually giving it to others. So we have to make sure that preaching is very strong in our priority list. I think it was 1975, my first year in India, Papa was going on walks early in the morning, and the devotees were coming back telling us what he was saying, and he was giving predictions of the Kali Yuga. I know the speaker yesterday said that he didn't like to hear it, but it's important to hear about how it's going to get very impossible to live. The devotees will be living underground and not being able to preach, and every day Papa was telling more and more. It was getting kind of depressing, actually. And then they came back one day, and they were all alive, and they said that actually Papa had said today that this whole prediction can stop, it can change, it can turn right around. We can do it by the Sankirtan movement, that this Sankirtan is the prime benediction. It can actually change this where we're headed. So this we should take seriously, that Lord Chaitanya gave the Sankirtan. It's like, have you ever been in a race where you have a baton and you give it to somebody else? And so he had it and he gave it to the next Goswamis, and then it goes on from Acharya. You can see where Bhakti Sananda put it in Prabhupada's hand. Prabhupada ran to America, and then when he came here, he ran and he put it in our hands. So now, what do we do with this baton, this Harinam Sankirtan? We have to give it to the next generation. I had an experience a couple weeks ago. There was a little brief advertisement in the morning program about a big Harinam in Jacksonville. And I went there, and I was on the mental. Oh, I have so many things to do. I don't want to drive. I don't want to go. And a bunch of college kids all drunk and da 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 da. But I said, okay, I'm going to go. They probably don't have many people going. So I went, and there must have been 100,000 people there. I mean, so I've never seen so many people at the stadium ever. But there were so few devotees, and the sound system wasn't very good. And we were all, except for one couple, we were all over 50 years old. Some over 60, some over 70, and we're out there trying to, rah rah, dance with them, And I remember one person said, "Oh, Grandma, what are you doing out here today?" Of course, my ego, but at least I'm out here, And can't hide it anymore. And but I was thinking of Lord Chaitanya, when he went out, he organized, okay, you're going to sing, you're going to dance, you're going to play this instrument. He got the best kirtaniyas. He went out in, you know, pizzazz to really present this holy name that we're supposed to have so much faith in, that we're supposed, which is the essence, is to take this and give it out. I think we can do better. And I think we all should do better. So many people come to the stadium, it's only 15 minutes you have to drive there. You know, Jacksonville's a little longer, but 100,000 people could hear the holy name, and can it affects their heart. It really does. We have to have faith that this is everything. The holy name is everything. Just like they were saying, you know, Shanko's giving away everything. What's he left with? The holy name. It's everything. And we have to really have that conviction in our hearts. And I think we can do better about giving this baton to the next generation, letting them see, or they should be out there also getting fired up. We used about 10 hours a day in Los Angeles on Sankirtan, literally 10 hours on our feet chanting. And it made you transcend. First of all, we were all new devotees, and of course the doubts are kind of lurking around. Am I supposed to be doing this, you know? And dressed in weird clothes, and you're feeling very uncomfortable, and people are throwing, literally, they were throwing water on our heads from the 10th floor of the buildings. And, you know, it was tough. You know, it was real tough. You just have to close your eyes and just get into the holy name. And it was so good. I mean, it really made you appreciate the holy name, and that you could just absorb yourself in there, and all that maya, all that craziness, all those people that are doing nonsense, it was gone. And you really began to appreciate the holy name. So it is the medicine for the age, and we should take it, as Bhaktivinoda says, the Lord's order to patrol around town and to other towns, into every village. So this is a test. We should be testing our faith all the time. Figuring out how we're doing, if we're advancing for the pleasure of Srila Prabhupada. So we should realize that we can increase that by taking up the Sankirtan movement in whatever way we can. Even someone came up, said, I really wanted to go, but you know, it's hard to get a ride. And they suggested, you know, well, why doesn't someone rent a bus? Or why doesn't someone, there was no prasadam. We didn't even have prasadam to give anybody, not a candy. I mean, that's pretty bad. So we need, just like we just read a few minutes ago, what do you need? An organizer and intelligence. We should have it together. So, anyway, I'll try to do better. Everyone else can try to do better. And we can show our faith by going out and increasing this Sankirtan movement. It's described here about this delusion, this forgetfulness. Even the personality of religion is kind of, you know, muddled by the illusion. And it's kind of like, who's to point the finger? Who's responsible for this? For this illusion? Of course, it's clear that Krishna is the sanctioner of everything. But then also Krishna says, here it says that Krishna actually says, I'm not totally responsible. Actually, it's the material energy. And she has a duty. She has to do her service of deluding us. And then, so really, where's the finger point? Ultimately, it comes back to us, because we're the ones that have to be taught to remember Krishna. So you might want to think about that or discuss that, you know, who's responsible for all this? If we weren't here, none of this would be going on. So we have to do our duty and try to use our intelligence and organize our life so that we can get out of this delusion. I would like to, I don't know if they allow me, probably the tomorrow's, possibly the tomorrow's speaker will say this, or tell a little bit more about what tomorrow is. Does anyone know what tomorrow is?
Gopaspati.
I can't help myself but talk a little bit about it and encourage you all. We don't really have anything planned. Usually we do have something planned out at the farm, but I don't think there's anything planned. But Gopaspati is the day that the residents of Vrindavan, especially Nanda Maharaj and some of his Gopa friends, decided that Krishna was now old enough to take care of the cows, not just the calves. Actually, on this day, Krishna got control of the calves. But many years later, on the same day, that's when Nanda Maharaj decided that now they'll take care of the cows. Of course, Mother Yasoda was a little worried about that. Of course, mothers are always worried, especially big animals. And if you go out to our barn, I hope you all do visit out there tomorrow, you won't believe how big some of our cows have gotten. I was there when Nimai came out. Dinatai was holding on the legs, and the first thing, the eyes came out, Nimai saw me, and I looked at him, and I looked at his legs and go, those are really long legs. Now if you go out there, he is so tall. You know, you'd need a ladder to get on him. I mean, he's way bigger than his mother. Anyway, I encourage you all to go out and see the cows. Bring something for them. There's some cows over here, and there's some cows over here. The ones that are most cooperative about taking food are over here. Sarabi and Abai. Abai, you have to be patient because his feet are not in good shape, but he'll come over and he'll eat whatever you have and beg for more. So, apples, fruit, carrots, bananas, you can try them all. But take a little bit of time and celebrate this day. It was a big celebration, Gopaspati, that Krishna is now getting to take care of the cows. There's also another pastime that happened on that day. Really relishable pastime of Krishna and his consort Radharani. When they go out pasturing and taking care of the cows, of course Radharani is feeling separation, but sometimes Radharani is really kept kind of locked up and restricted by Jatila, her mother-in-law. And so she was very lamenting, and Krishna also was lamenting, actually crying, oh, I haven't seen Radharani for so long. And so Subal was called by Krishna to come, and Subal said, you know, what's wrong? You're really miserable. You look like you're, you know, really some kind of strange ecstasy here. And he says, Krishna says, can you figure out some way that I can get Radharani's association? And so he was given that task, and Subal decided, well, I'll go see what's going on with Radharani. And so he ran over to Radharani's place, and Jatila, of course, was sitting there, stick in hand, guarding the place, and said, what are you doing here, Subal? You shouldn't be here. And he says, well, you know, we've been with the cows all day, and one calf, I can't find it, must have run somewhere, it must be, I thought I saw it go this way. Oh, go ahead. And so he goes back there and peeks in the window at Radharani, and Radharani is in, you know, ecstasy of separation from Krishna. So he climbs in the window, and he explains to Radharani that, oh, I see you're miserable, and Krishna's miserable too, somehow or other, we've got to figure out how you all can get together. So they ponder some ideas, and so they come up with this idea that because they're similar in complexion and similar in voice and everything, that they could switch their outfits, and Subal will be there looking like Radharani, and Radharani will look like Subal. So there are some things that they had to do a little adjusting. So he said, grab this calf and just put it across your chest That'll solve that problem. And so she goes and she's got a turban on her head, and she's got the same garland on, she's got a dhoti on, and she's looking very much like Subhan. So she runs past Datila, and Datila says, "Oh, glad you got your calf. Hi, Bo, Subal." And Subal goes back, goes back to Krishna, and Krishna's still there, and he sees Subal, and he goes, "Oh, no luck, huh?" And he says, "Oh, that's, yeah. And then Subal goes over and embraces Krishna. And then Krishna says, goes into a supreme ecstasy and realizes this is not Subal, and realizes that it's Radharani. Of course, they get to have their pastimes together. So this actually happened on that day also. So these are some things that we can remember. And a couple of years we've had plays out there enacting this pastime. But maybe I was thinking that if Madam Mati was here, I was going to just do a spontaneous little drama, but she's not here. But anyway, we can try to remember that that pastime and visit the cows tomorrow and maybe do some service for the cows. We have brushes in the barn. You can call them in. And they also like gur, which is you can get at the Indian store. It's nice. Just don't give them too much. It gives them the runs. But they really love that also. So you can allure them over, and then if you call their names, they'll come. They know their names. Especially Sarabi and Pooja, they call. On the other side of the field, the guests, when they come, and I say, "I'll get them over here." I just say, "Sarabi," and she comes, her ears immediately perk up. She comes right over. So, get to know our cows more and celebrate tomorrow's Gopastami. So, is there any comments or questions?
How many cows are there?
We don't have very many cows right now. We have one black sheep when one jumped the fence. And so we have the three Guernseys. We have two Gir. We have one Brahmin and then one mix. So I think we have about seven.
How many milking?
One milking? Only one milking. And we would like to increase the herd, but we don't see that the second generation is so interested in taking care of them, and we're afraid that if we increase, that they will not get and take care of properly. So, not too many people inclined for that service. We luckily have some nice cowherd boys, Ishmambar and his family, Ramananda Roy and Sukada, that take care of the milking and the cows. So,
how do you go? So earlier in your class, you were describing about the devotees turning up for service. So it's general in Krishna consciousness that there is one aspect of preaching that brings devotees, and then apparently there's another aspect to keep devotees in tools and to encourage to serve. So in this particular case, if you're describing about going out there, what with you describing so much, I'm pretty sure you probably thought about it of some of means that what you can get devotees to turn up more. So can you share some of that of what sort of encouragement, maybe a vehicle, maybe whatever?
Well, online I see these pictures of Atlanta. Their book distribution has like skyrocketed lately, and there's all these pictures of non-devotees with a stack of books this high, literally they can't even carry them underneath their chin. It's amazing. And after if you read all those books, how could you not surrender? Nectar Devotion, so many wonderful books. But it, also the other aspects like we're getting this training ashram started over here. I'm wondering what's happening. Is there a follow-up of these people that buy all the books? Or, is there a program that will attract, like the Sunday Love Feast, the people that are in Hari Nam and they want to know more, they want chanting. So all these different things are important. It's a It's a big package, you know, but we have to have all of it together. If we're not going out there, then how are they going to hear about it? How are they going to get the books? Of course, there's a lot of online things, and some people are doing fantastic jobs online getting devotees to come. Something warrior, what's it called? Something warrior. I heard this person, this Russian devotee, is making hundreds and hundreds of devotees online. But we need our temples, we need our preachers to answer the questions and to engage them. So yeah, it's unlimited. I mean, it's an unlimited amount of service we can do to make them devotees and to keep them devotees. So it's a big job.
It looks like a bigger job is to keep them devotees or to keep that enthusiasm so that, you know, it can go on. I know we're having the same problem with that. Go out there, people want to know, well, what next? So follow up and
what's next?
We don't have a team for that.
That's why I started the Eco Farm, because we preach about it, so we need to do it. So we're trying to get people out there. I can't go out so much anymore, so I try to bring them here and make it attractive. It is all different sides to the sandwich. The ISKCON sandwich is wonderful, so we have to make sure we're distributing it nicely, whatever way we can. And when there's always new ideas, too. So, yeah, we have to make them devotees and keep them devotees.
As we were discussing, a thought just came to mind with Raghunath Das Swami. He was one, the person who was making all the arrangements for Lord Chaitanya's party to go ahead, provide for all the devotees, they didn't have transportation, but all facilities.
The organization,
And then devotees just go, torn up. So I have heard comments when, you know, present day that something said, well, that's going to make them lazy, that, okay, they just got it torn up. But I think, you know, there's other side also. So if the organization is there, like, okay, transportation is there, prasadam is there, medical facilities there, per se, whatever the case may be, then if devotees, that eliminates excuses, in other words, like what you were talking about, well, you had so much things to do, you have to drive to Jacksonville, all these different things, so ran through your mind, you did your argument internally, and then you made your decision. So if facilities are there to eliminate all those arguments, eliminate all those doubts, eliminate all those problems, then maybe something better can happen. Just thinking out loud.
Just can't be lazy. At least think about how I can do more. Anything else? From Govinda?
One of the Acharya quotes that you mentioned that you need to go out teaching. So he said, he asked the question to the audience, how do you know you are advancing? What is the standard of measurement? How do you reflect? Can you detect? Can you examine? Is it only way you can do when you face the opponent in the preaching field and establish the truth in a positive way, in a way that they will respond positively? It's your success of advancement. So I took it very, this is just translation I'm doing. He said, prachar bhakti ka dhakka, is the sloka. So every devotee should go out to preach, because otherwise you don't know whether you are advancing or not. Your real bhakti, and then I found Prabhupada's conversation with Harikesh Swami, when Harikesh Maharaj was glorifying Prabhupada's beautiful class. He said, that's nice. Anybody, any disciple can do that in the temple. But when you go out and you face the opponent, and you establish the glory of your Guru, that is real preaching. That is real glorification of Guru. Wow, that was like a very powerful.
Thank you,
it
was nice. Yes.
Oops, sorry.
You know, this Krishna consciousness is such a powerful thing. If we just, when we go out, sometimes we're thinking of the result. But if you preach, you know, we may not see it in our lifetime, but if we're sincerely going out there and be Krishna conscious, everybody we meet, we can touch them in some way or the other. I mean, simple way, we have this UPS guy that comes to our place regularly, and I always try to give him a little maha prasadam. And so when he comes, if I don't have any prasadam, he waits there. And I said, sometimes I forget, and I said, oh, wait 1 second. And it's been, you know, 2-3 years we've been doing this. Whoever is home, my husband, my daughter, somebody is always giving him something. Now he said, what do you guys do? What is this all about? Why you always insist on giving? You know, people, little by little, whatever we do, we can touch somebody's heart. And so sometimes, we go out and we think we have to do it in such a way, but if every moment we're preaching somewhere or other, we can touch somebody's life. And it's very powerful. It's actually, you know, you see amazing things. So if we try to be conscious all the time about dealing with people and dealing with this, we can touch so many people's lives, including our own, you know, over consciousness.